A payroll tax to treat coronavirus's economic symptoms. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. President Trump wants a payroll tax cut. Payroll taxes are the money taken out of people's paychecks to fund Social Security and Medicare. So if you suspend them, people's take-home paychecks get bigger. The Obama administration used a similar cut during the Great Recession to try and get consumers to spend. Here's director of the White House's National Economic Council, Larry Kudlow, talking to reporters Tuesday.
I think there'll be a big growth payoff. I think it'll help deal with whatever challenges occur in the next few months. I think beyond that, ameliorating the tax burden on the middle class, the so-called blue-collar boom that I talk quite a bit about, that's what this is aimed for. That's really what the payroll tax is principally about.
Marketplace's Kristen Schwab reports on what a payroll tax could mean and its limits.
Don't compare the coronavirus economy to the Great Recession, says Alan Auerbach, an economics professor at UC Berkeley.
It wasn't caused by the same factors.
It's being caused by a disease, of course, that's keeping more and more people at home, away from work and public gatherings, and no one knows when it will stop.
There's not much you can do to restore demand for the industries that are being directly hit.
Extra cash probably won't get people to take cruises, buy plane tickets, or go to concerts. They might save it or use it to stock up on supplies. Plus, the only people who would benefit from a payroll tax cut are people on payrolls. Howard Gleckman is with Urban Brookings.
People who are kind of at most risk here economically are the people who would benefit the least.
A payroll tax cut wouldn't help people who have been laid off or people without paid leave who are sick or quarantined. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Europe is facing the same question as the U.S. is. What to do to support its economy as the outbreak grows? European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde warned European leaders that Europe faces an economic shock similar to the financial crisis unless urgent action is taken. From London, the BBC's Victoria Craig reports.
6 weeks ago, the European Central Bank was optimistic about improving business sentiment and a de-escalation in U.S.-China trade tensions. But that was before the COVID-19 outbreak. Last week, the Federal Reserve stunned markets with an emergency 0.5% rate cut, and central banks in Japan and the UK vowed to take part in a coordinated global effort to maintain economic stability. On Thursday, the ECB will decide whether to do the same. But economists have warned there's little scope for the central bank to act since its benchmark rate already sits at a record low of -0.5%. Aside from further slashing rates, investors say the bank could expand its bond buying program or provide new lending systems for small businesses hit by coronavirus disruption. President Christine Lagarde has said the ECB is ready to take appropriate and targeted measures to address the coronavirus crisis. She just might need to dig deeper in her monetary policy toolbox to find the right recession-fighting fix. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Italy says it's doubling its fiscal stimulus program. The European Commission president has said it would be as flexible as possible around spending rules to let member states fight the economic impact of the virus. Checking markets, the FTSE in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 1.7 to 1.9% range, with the Dow future down 425 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 0.71%.
It is your last chance to get our new Marketplace t-shirt with a donation of just $30. Whether you're giving for the first time or renewing your support, this is an opportunity that you don't want to miss. But don't hesitate. This special offer ends this week. Contribute to independent journalism that you trust today at marketplace.org and get this shirt as a special thank you from us. Once again, it's marketplace.org, and thank you.
Social media and tech companies are under a lot of pressure this election season to fight misinformation. But rather than become fact checkers or arbiters of truth themselves, several have just restricted or banned altogether political ads. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports on how that's affecting campaigns.
Individual companies are experimenting to see what policies work for political ads. This year, Google started limiting micro-targeting after complaints that some political messages were getting shared with just a handful of people. Julia Ager is president of digital consulting firm Sapphire Strategies.
So previously, you could go into Google and target a specific group of folks. For example, people who have visited your website before.
Or people who maybe fit into a narrow demographic category. Smaller campaigns used that feature to avoid spending money advertising to people unlikely to vote for them. Lucy Caldwell ran digital strategy for Joe Walsh, who briefly waged a primary challenge to President Trump. She says Google's changes now limit the ability of campaigns to say,
hey, go advertise to folks who look like this, who are Republicans between 25 and 35. And that definitely disproportionately affects small campaigns because there are currently still all these workarounds to getting at that audience.
Like blanketing a bigger area with an online campaign or buying targeted TV or streaming ads, which are all more expensive, giving the advantage to deep-pocketed candidates, especially in local races. Other platforms, like Twitter, are blocking political ads altogether, pushing those ad dollars to other sites. Tim Lim is CEO of Lim Consulting Services. He says right now,
it's the Highlander of political ads, which is an awful analogy, but yes.
Actually, it's kind of a great analogy.
There can be only one.
In the movie and TV show, when you knock out one contender, their power, in this case money, goes to the challenger left standing. Julia Eger at Sapphire Strategies says that's what's happening now that Spotify has banned political ads.
You'll see that budget and those ads flow elsewhere, for example, to places like Pandora or other digital streaming services.
At least until those platforms decide political ads are more trouble than they're worth. Tim Lim again.
Really, everyone's just tense at this point.
Tense, but employed. After all, somebody has to keep track of all of these changes for the campaigns. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.